We've got another AI warning to talk through. Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. Good morning, and thanks for joining us. Mitigating the risk of extinction from AI should be a global priority, similar to risks like pandemics and nuclear war. That's a statement from a group of academics and industry leaders about the dangers of artificial intelligence. One of the first AI engineers, Professor Yoshua Bengio, says more government control is crucial, but he goes even further.
We also need the people who are close to these systems to have a kind of certification. So think about doctors. They have like an ethical training, and we need ethical training here.
The thing is, a lot of us are using it now, right? We use it at work, and businesses are using it to make things more efficient. So let's find out how one of the UK's biggest energy companies is using it. Greg Jackson is CEO of Octopus Energy. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
The general complaint about when people try to get onto big companies like banks or utility companies is that you can never speak to a real person. But you're here to say actually AI is doing a better job. Is that right?
I think when we started the business, we were always determined that we'd provide better service than people in our sector. We've done that by building fantastic technology that lets our really dedicated and caring team solve problems. So instead of computer says no, they're able to actually help you there and then on the phone, or indeed by email. And we've recently in Europe had the energy crisis, which has seen people's energy bills double or even treble. And that's caused an incredible amount of anxiety among customers and really meant that our team is spending ever more time helping customers through difficult situations. What we've been doing with AI is using it to enable our team to have a new tool to more rapidly provide better answers to customers. And, you know, by last week, I think it was answering 34% of customer emails. And the surprising thing is that the AI is delivering much better results. So typically, I think we're seeing satisfaction ratings in the 80s, 80-odd percent when AI is written email, and then the 60s when our people do. Now, there's a bit more to it than that, because our people are choosing which emails the AI is going to answer, and they're reviewing the answers. So, there's definitely a human in the loop, but they've got this hugely powerful new tool to do a better job.
Yeah, I mean, how do your staff feel about that?
I think the first thing is the way that we're using AI, it's like a new tool for the team. If you've got someone who's only ever used a shovel to dig a trench and then you give them a mechanical digger, they'll do a better job of it. In the same way, we've given people this new tool. And so the team are able to do a better job. And I think they're proud of that and they're enjoying it. They're spending less time repetitively typing, more time making decisions that humans are good at.
I mean, there has been a lot of warnings about AI from these big tech players. And one of them is that people don't know when they're speaking to an AI. And that actually needs to be made very clear to people that they are speaking to an AI. Do customers know when they're not speaking to a real person with Octopus Energy?
At the moment, every email that we send to a customer, even if it was written by AI, is handled by a human before it goes. And so, how do you draw the line? If we get to the point where the AI is sending the emails without a human in the loop, then I think that kind of indication is going to be important. But right now, it's kind of like it's hybrid. The human is looking after the customer, but with the AI's help.
Greg Jackson, CEO of Octopus Energy, thank you so much for joining us on Marketplace.
Thank you very much indeed.
Now, let's do the numbers. Inflation in France fell to 6%, its lowest level for a year. And we've got more indicators. China's economy still isn't firing on all cylinders. Official figures say that China's service sector expanded rapidly in May, but factory activity reduced. Drones are a key feature in the war in Ukraine. Just yesterday, Russia's capital, Moscow, was hit by one, and Ukraine is ramping up the homegrown production of drones as it struggles to cope with the demand for them on the front line. Thousands of drones have been purchased for use in the war, and military leaders have even said that ordinary, small hobby drones are giving them a competitive edge on the battlefield. The BBC's cyber correspondent, Joe Tidy, reports.
On the outskirts of Kyiv, the latest group of drone pilots are being trained for the front line. The location is being kept a secret. But instructor Slava is teaching recruits how to use these small drones to spot signs of enemy troops and help guide artillery attacks. This relatively cheap hobby drone has become a major tool of this war for both sides, so much so that its Chinese manufacturer banned sales to Ukraine and Russia last year, but still thousands flood to the front line. And the demand for drones is so great, Ukraine has upped its own manufacturing, recently relaxing import laws to speed up production lines. They've also launched design competitions for new drones, all promoted with slick videos showing off the new growing war-induced industry.
There were many different kinds of UAVs presented, ones with the vertical takeoff, kamikazes and FPV.
And it's all being funded by a hugely successful public campaign.
There are no superheroes wearing capes, Jedi Knights.
Backed by celebrities like Star Wars actor Mark Hamill, the Army of Drones campaign has raised more than $108 million since last summer. Mykhailo Fedorov is Minister for Digital Transformation and until recently Deputy Prime Minister. In his government office, he shows me the secret design for a new type of kamikaze drone. The minister has also boasted online about drones able to fly to Moscow and back, and Russia has accused Ukraine of carrying out offensive drone strikes in its territory.
You're asking people around the world to donate their drones, the money for drones, for the defence of Ukraine. But what about attacks on Russia? Offensive attacks over the border.
I think it is better to talk about that to the military. Our job is to make sure that the military have the resources and the tools to bring us the victory.
Meanwhile, the donations continue to pour in and more drones take to the skies.
The BBC's Joe Tidy reporting there. And finally, a new UK report is warning that using jet fuel made from pig, cattle and chicken byproducts is unsustainable and should be limited. Demand for the fuel is expected to triple by 2030 since the UK and the EU are keen to increase the use of fats in airline fuel tanks because they have a lower carbon footprint. But campaigners say there just aren't enough animals to meet the demand. And they're also concerned industries that currently use these fats, like pet food makers, will lose out. And that's it from me. I'm Leanna Byrne, the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.